Welcome to Hope Central's latest podcast. If you would like to know more about service times, locations, or to subscribe to our podcast, head over to our website for any further information, hopecentral.org.au. We hope you enjoy today's message.
Well, welcome back to me. Just in case you didn't know, I've been away for a little while, and we are gladly back. Me and the team for Papua New Guinea was a great success. Thank you for praying for us, because we did see a great amount of really good things happen in the different locations that we did go to. Cocker team had an amazing time and had all kinds of struggles and things as well as they overcame, and the Mount Hagen Jawaka sort of Highlands team had a great time as well. And of course, the people that were busy in Port Moresby, we had an even more blessed time. And thanks be to God, I got to go off to the city of Leh as well and minister and preach there. And so build a bit of connection and hoping to go back there again next year as well. But we'll give you a little bit more details about that next week as we talk about missions, because it's Mission Sunday next week. But just to let you know, it was a really great time. We all came back fine and in good health, and nobody died. Yes. So good. Before we get into the word today, I want to talk to you about something we're going to be talking about for during this month, and that is we've decided to do a stewardship offering at this time during the year. Normally, we do it in May, but because of the way that the projects were coming about, we decided to postpone it to now so that we had more correct details about it. Every single year, we give an opportunity for the people of this church to invest in the expanding ministry of this church. It is a no obligation thing. This is not me trying to extort money from you, but it is an opportunity to invest in the kingdom of God. We need to recognize that our lives lived here provide us with opportunities to store up heavenly reward. And so every year, as a good pastor, I need to give responsible stewardship to you and to give you opportunities to invest in the things that we are seeing strategically as being important, both for our own work and around the world. And so every year we take up a stewardship offering that just helps us to coordinate our giving efforts together so that we can combined make the greatest strategic amount of good. So those projects for this year, which you might see on the big central slide, look at that beautiful lady there. Oh, fantastic. She's married to me. So the projects this year is we are doing church planting for Gawler. Last year in our stewardship offering, we took up an offering and received $25,000 towards the Gawler plant for this year, but we need an additional $25,000 this year to help launch the Gawler church. That's going to be starting on November the 11th. That's Remembrance Day, in case you forgot. That's why it's called Remembrance Day. So the Gawler Church is launching. The team is well-placed. We're already getting a lot of things together already. Pastor Peter is doing a fantastic job of bringing that all together, and we are looking to resource that church well for its launch in November. We're also doing our online community. We're developing. We've got, as if you turn your neck around, you'll see there's multiple cameras there at the back now, and that kind of stuff requires all sorts of softwares and computers and all sorts of things to make it look fantastic, work well. So we need an additional $6,000 for that. We also continue our missionary support. That's what one of the things that we do is we support two missionaries, and one of those that we raise the money for is Jeremy Steele. And Pastor Jeremy works with Pastor Barry in all of the nations that they're involved in, about 12 different nations. And he's traveling 26 weeks of the year away from his family. And we support him to the tune of $10,000 a year to make sure that his missionary work is successful. We also do local missions, which primarily is about local community outreach and children's work. And so every year we ask for $5,000 for that. And we also need to do some upgrades to both the Elizabeth and the Salisbury facilities. And every year it's something different. But this year, we need to make a strategic investment in all of our sound equipment. We've got to raise the game here, because what's his here is now off its peak. And so we need $10,000 for both Elizabeth and Salisbury to get our sound systems all up to score and up to grade and doing really well. So that makes it a total of $66,000 that we are looking to raise money for today. Doesn't that sound very achievable? All right. So every year, I myself pray and ask the Lord, Lord, what do you want me to invest in your kingdom work for this coming year? Because I'm part of this church, I always feel like it's in part important for me to invest in the thing that God is doing here. And so I voluntarily choose to ask God, what should I do? And then I willingly participate in that. It's usually several thousand dollars that Jody and I will pray about together, and we'll say, yes, this is what we need to do strategically. We'll be explaining to you how you can do that. You can do it monthly, you can do it weekly, you can do it in a lump sum. It's all completely up to you. And after we do it, there will be no follow-up, no hassling you, no shaking you down, checking your pockets. So take the card. Just read the things that are on there. We're going to be talking about all this month, but this is just to let you know that in 1 month's time, we're going to be asking for your response to that and then see what God does. Let me just lead you in a prayer. Father, we're so grateful for all the work that you are doing both here and around the world, and we pray, Father, that you would lead our hearts. That is, we want to do what you will for us. So, Lord, with no manipulation, but Father, completely from you, I pray that you would guide each one of us in what you want to do, investing in this work that you have all called us to be part of. And so we ask, Lord Jesus, that what happens would glorify you, that you give us incredible hearts of faith, and that you help us to do your will. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm starting a new series today that's going to go for the next 4 weeks, and I am very excited about it, but I also know that there's going to be a tremendous amount of resistance to it. The sermon series is called Breaking Bad. If you want to turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6, this has nothing to do with the TV show that also has that same cool name, even though I've completely ripped off their graphic. Breaking Bad has something to do with somebody doing bad stuff. I got no idea. I've never even seen the show, but it sounded so cool that I thought we need to do. As a pastor, I commit myself to preaching through the major topics of the Bible, sometimes whole books of the Bible, but one of the major themes of the Bible is spiritual warfare and the idea that we are not living in a world that is without satanic or demonic influence. And so every year I feel it's really important for us to kind of check ourselves and to see where there can be satanic or demonic influences in our lives that we have in Christ the right to refuse and the right to overcome. So we're going to work through that. We're going to go through these different topics. Today we're talking about breaking satanic strongholds. Then second week we're going to talk about breaking Babylon. That is breaking the power of money. Week number three we're going to talk about breaking religion. The power of religion in this world is exceptionally strong in changing our behavior. And week number four in breaking relationship strongholds. Those are the three things that I find the most scriptures about when it comes to satanic opposition that constantly causes us to slow down. Now, years ago, we go down a road. We try to go every year for just a holiday, take some people with us, including our children. And one day, me and the kids, I think the girls were probably about sort of, you know, 10 and, I don't know, 8 or something like that. I don't know, that can't be right. They got different ages. So 10 and 7, something like that. And we were all out at the beach, and I'm Canadian, right? I don't know anything about, I just know it's water, right? Sand, water. The fact that there's sand is already a bonus, and it's water, so good. Our beaches had rocks. So I go out, we go out swimming, and no one's ever told me anything. There's no flags, there's no nothing. So I just go out swimming, and I'm out there with, you know, we got our boogie boards and stuff, and having a great time. And the girls were both on these ones, inflatable inner tube things, right? You know, not like the really nice ones, the cheap ones that wreck every year. So we're all out there paddling, and I kind of, as we're sort of playing, you know, I normally kind of just keep my feet, you know, in a place where I can touch the ground, and, you know, I'm 6 foot tall, so that's plenty of room for the kids. So we're all doing that, and then we kind of were drifting around, I was holding on, and I just looked around and I went, we're away from the shore. Like, it's actually quite a bit farther away. So I thought, oh, that's, I don't know how that's happened. So I just started, you know, swimming and paddling. Hey, girls, let's go in. And I just noticed, we just keep going out. And so I got a little bit, I didn't want to stress the kids, but my kids know my behavior well enough that just doing this was stressful enough, because I was just like, all right, kids, don't panic, but we're just all going to like swim together to the shore, because we're getting like really far out. And so we all start paddling, and I'm just like paddling away, kicking like crazy, exhausting myself, holding on to this rubber thing with my children on it. You know, like, not the greatest of swimmers anyway, but I was really playing. I just, whoa, thorping it, like, whoa, going like crazy. And we were getting farther out. And that's when it just started to hit me, like, we're heading out to sea. Like, we're so far away from the shore, I can't wave down Jody, hey. You know, she would just think we're having a great time. Hey. So we're just drifting out to sea, and I thought, this is really dangerous. And then, praise God, thank you, Jesus, we drifted to the side, out of the rip, and were able to swim in. But have you ever felt like that? Have you ever felt that, why can't I seem to get anywhere? That you're exhausting yourself, you're in your life, you're really, maybe it's like this, you're just in like some kind of relationship, and you're just like, why do I ever get anywhere with this relationship? Or maybe it's like a temptation, you're just like, why can't I ever get anywhere with this temptation? Or maybe you're just like swimming against some sort of financial struggles, and you're just like, why am I always swimming the same thing? Why am I never farther ahead than I was before? Or maybe it's something to do with like your own relationship with God, where you're just like, you're putting in all the effort, but you don't seem to be getting any results. And I just wanted to give a chance for us to talk about this idea that there is a current, there is a spiritual current that's against us, that's carrying us away from what's good. And we need to recognize that we are actually in an environment that is spiritual. So Jesus was always on the alert for satanic things that would pop up to oppose him. In Matthew chapter 16, he says, but he turned and he said to Peter, get behind me, Satan, you are a hindrance to me, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man. Now, I'm sure that was for Peter a massive shock. Like, Jesus, just let me help you out. What you're just proposing is a really bad idea, that whole dying on the cross thing. And Peter turns around and says, none of that, Satan, get. Peter's like, hey, who? Sorry, me? Did you mean me? Sorry, did you change my name to Peter once? If we're changing it to Satan, I'm not ready for that. I can't keep up. But Jesus was constantly realizing the fact that he is trying to live in a certain direction, he is going a certain way, and there is real spiritual pressure to turn him aside from that, and he's always on the alert for it. In fact, while Peter, in this case, was somebody that was unknowingly part of Satan's plan to slow Jesus down, Peter learned that lesson and said later, in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, said, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. So, well, in Jesus' case, he had to rebuke Peter. Later, Peter realizes, hey, we're all facing this same problem. Not just him as an apostle and leader, someone who's watching over the church, but all believers, all Christians. He had to give the same warning and advice. He's saying, watch out. This is not safe. This is not okay. There is a problem around about you, and if you don't be watchful, you're going to end up in trouble. And so, Ephesians chapter 6, which we're going to read more of this later, but in Ephesians chapter 6, there's several references to this spiritual battle that we're on. He starts out saying, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. The reality is, you and I are in a spiritual battle. And the temptation or the thought pattern is it's people, it's things, it's life, it's just the world. I know why. It's just the economy. I know why. It's just her. It's just him. And Paul says, no, you got to watch out for this reality. You are in a spiritual climate. We are dealing with spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm. Now, the Greek word for that is pneumatikos, which means non-carnal, a spirit, supernatural. We are in a supernatural environment. That word pneumatica comes from this word, pneuma, which is basically the Greek word for breath or air or wind. It means a current of air, a breath, a blast, a breeze. It becomes, by analogy, a spirit. And Paul wants to remind us, what you're experiencing, it's not just things. It's not just sort of life on earth. It's not just the Liberal government or the Labor government or the Greens. It's not just political entities. It's not just educations. It's not just courts. It's not just policemen. It's not just things. It's actually spiritual as well. And if you constantly are addressing the human or the physical or the fleshly reasons why things are hard, you're going to miss out on this great spiritual reality that it's actually spiritual opposition to your progress. And so Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2 says, and you were, sorry, it should say 1 to 2, you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. So even when Paul is talking about those who are outside of Christ, he's saying that if you are outside of the Holy Spirit, you are under the spirit of this world, the power of this air, this level of reality. This spirit is opposing you. And when you're disobedient, when you're following that, you're actually following an instinct that is not just yours, but it's also satanic. He goes on and he says, among whom we are all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and we were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. I remind you, he says, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. And strangely, he says the reason that we have these flesh and blood instincts is because there's a spiritual power behind them. Have you ever wondered to yourself, why do I desire that? Why do I love that? Why do I think like that? See, all of those things you might just put down to you, but Paul says there's a spiritual reality behind them. Not all desires are yours. Not all thoughts are yours. Not all passions are yours. And so, we are fighting against the wind. Fighting against the wind. We are in a spiritual... When I was young and newly married, we went to live on Vancouver Island for a while. And to get to Vancouver Island, it's a very big island. If you don't know anything about geography, very big island, but a distance off the coast, the main coast. So to get there, you had to take a giant ferry, like a huge one. Like I'm talking 600 people, you know, 200 vehicles. Huge ferry. So these ferries, we'd all load in, and you had to kind of line up and, you know, wait in your cars for like 45 minutes or an hour just to drive into this thing. You paid a ton of money and you get on this thing. And one of my favorite things to do was during the ferry trip, which sometimes could be fairly long, we used to like to get up onto the top deck and then around the front at the top in front of where the stack was, you know, where the motor is spewing out diesel. We used to stand at the front because there was this place, it was about this wide, right in the front, where it was just like a little walkway, but if you stood right in the middle, right at the top, you got the maximum wind impact of this giant ship pushing through the air, and you could literally like lean right over, I can't without falling, you could lean like over like this. So, careful. That's right, a bit of engineering. So, and it was so fun to know that you just stand there, you're standing against the wind, you're pushing against it. But that just demonstrated to me how much wind resistance there actually is when you're trying to get forward. And we are constantly in this battle of, we are running against the currents of this world. Have you ever been on a plane trip and like, you know, a long distance and wondered why it takes longer to get there than to come back? Like we just flew to America a couple of weeks ago, and to fly to America, it's faster than coming back from America. Why? Did they move? Like I said, really? I mean, yeah, sometimes when you land at LA or something, you feel like the airport's that big. You drove for a week just to get to the thing, but they didn't move. It's actually just the current of the air in the world. One direction you were going with the currents of the air, and then the next time you're going against the currents of the air, and so it just takes longer to get there. And so this is the reality that we're dealing with. The spiritual forces are against anyone who is a child of God. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 18, one of the things that I was thinking about is that we sometimes associate all spiritual opposition as something that we're failing in. And I just wanted to help everybody realize that spiritual opposition is something that we all face, whether they're good or bad. If we're a child of God, we are against the spirits of this world, therefore we get the pressure back. And Paul talks about here in 1 Thessalonians, he says, because we wanted to come to you, I, Paul, again and again, but Satan hindered us. Now, I don't think that's like a boast thing. Like, I, Paul, like, hey, Satan, what are you doing here? You can't stop me. Hey, it's me. It's Paul here. I'm sorry, I get very New Yorker. Oi, what are you doing here? It's Paul here. Hey, I'm walking here. You know, sorry. Paul's saying, like, in your mind, like, I know that you and I, we try to do great spiritual progress. But if Paul the Apostle is trying to get somewhere and do something, and the only thing hindering him is Satan, and it works, you know that we're all facing the same kind of resistance. In fact, that word hindered, Paul talks about for the Romans as well. He says, and thus I make it my ambition to preach the gospel, not where Christ has already been named, lest I should build on someone else's foundation. But as it is written, those who have never been told of him will see, and those who have never heard will understand. This is the reason why I've so often been hindered from coming to you. Paul's like, I make it my ambition to preach the gospel in Rome. That's why I face constant opposition, because the spiritual powers of this world are against the gospel, and they're doing all that they can to stop Paul from getting there. And not only that, but even characters from the Bible like Daniel, great spiritual leader, praying for the future of Israel, he said to me, this is the angel who finally comes to Daniel after 3 weeks. And he says, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and humbled yourself before your God, your words have been heard, and I have come because of your words. The prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, but Michael, that's an archangel, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I was left there with the kings of Persia. See, here's an interesting reality. Daniel, great prophet of God, I know Apostle Paul, Daniel probably. Daniel is saying, I set my heart to understand the Lord's will and to understand, have a vision for the people of Israel so that I could properly help and encourage them. He prays, gets no answer. He keeps praying. He's fasting and praying. He prays for 3 weeks until an angel comes into him and says, actually, you know, the first day you asked, that's when I was sent. But I couldn't get here. I couldn't get here because of spiritual opposition. And so it took 3 weeks in prayer for him to get his answer. Probably took the 3 weeks in prayer to get the answer. So even Jesus, when Jesus is going to new areas and new ministries, it says, and leaving the crowds, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was, and other boats with him, and a great windstorm arose. You think, what? Is it just a natural occurrence? Is that what happens? Well, look as the story goes on. The waves are breaking into the boat so that the boat was already filling. They came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gerasenes or the Gadazarenes. And when Jesus had stepped out of the boat, immediately there met a man with an unclean spirit. Every time Jesus goes somewhere new, there's a spiritual force opposing him. And so Jesus rebukes the wind and he rebukes the demons in the man. Then at another time where he's starting the gospel here in his hometown of Nazareth, he says, they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one who had authority and not as one of the scribes. And immediately there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit. And he cried out, what have you come to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. So Jesus tries to start something new, or is starting something new, and immediately there's satanic opposition to his purposes. Okay, so I wanted to talk today about, are you guys with me so far? Okay, serious subject. I have to get my stool sample. Sorry, am I? It's better if I sit down like a doctor than a lecturer. I want to talk about these three realities. It is likely that you and I, we face spiritual problems, spiritual opposition, spiritual symptoms in these three areas: our physical world, our mental world, or our soul world, and our spiritual world. I want to say this first before we say anything about any of these, that every problem is not spiritual, but sometimes it is. Does that make sense? On the list is depression. Depression is sometimes a physical illness that you're facing. It's not necessarily a spiritual problem. Although, can I just say this? I know the nature of Satan is to kick those who are down. So if you are physically weak, mentally weak in an area, you're probably likely also to have a problem that he's making what's bad worse. Does that make sense? Okay. Sometimes physical sickness in the Bible was demonic. There were several times where Jesus would rebuke a spirit of muteness or a spirit of deafness, or there was a person that was crippled over and was infirm, and that was a spiritual problem, Jesus said, and delivered people of demons to cure them. So sometimes physical problems are spiritual, but not all physical problems are spiritual. You know, I don't know if there's a demon of a sore throat. But there could be. If your purpose was to preach the gospel and suddenly you fell ill, I don't put it past Satan. He can do lots of other things. Why can't he do sore throats, ear infections, balance problems, immune system issues? I don't see why he can't. I'm just saying it's foolish of me as a pastor to say everything is demonic, because then you're looking for the devil and you really need a doctor. Does that make sense? Okay. So to just be clear, you and I, we face physical problems in this world that are spiritual of origin and nature. And so I've put up a few things that they could possibly be. Sometimes chronic sickness, when you should be getting well and you don't get well, sometimes chronic sickness is actually a spiritual problem and not a physical one. Sometimes our struggles, whether that's struggles with in this world, personal struggles, can be demonic. Temptations are oftentimes the result of our own fleshly desires. However, they are made worse by Satan, who knows what we fall for. Addictions, there's a cycle to addiction that is mental health. There's physical health problems to it. But there's also oftentimes a spiritual component to addictive personality, to addictive behavior. There is oftentimes like a chronic sense of weakness. Weakness in your body, weakness even in your mind, that can come from a spiritual source. Sleeplessness. One of the things that I just find that the devil does to slow his servants down is to just make you tired through lack of sleep. Lack of resources is a chronic problem. When you would do more if you had more and you were constantly battling to get any kind of the resources that you need to accomplish the will of God, he works constantly to make you weak in resources. Persecution is a thing that's constantly found through the Bible as being in opposition to God. Satan raises up persecution to destroy the people and stop the people from doing God's will. Soul. We are not just bodies, but we have a soul, an inner part of us that is represented by our mind, our will, and our emotions. And so I find that oftentimes Satan works to constantly fill our minds with a sense of confusion, to have feelings that contradict one another, direction that contradicts, actions that contradict, a constant sense of, I don't know what I should be doing or thinking here. Oftentimes anxiety has a demonic source. Anxiety is not just the anxious symptoms that people oftentimes have, either through poor mental health or because you're facing a cause or a concern that's great. What I find is that the devil likes to take what could be normal anxiousness and he cranks it up so it becomes a crueling, a crushing, a soul-destroying, a fear-embracing anxiety. Depressions. I found that reading through the Psalms, I counted again and again that David talked about his own depressed soul. He would say, "Rejoice in the Lord, O my soul." Like he knew how great God was, but he was just so fatigued from the constant satanic opposition to him that he came very depressed. "I can't make it. I can't do it. Where's God?" Then there's also insecurity. A lack of confidence in either who you are or who you're called to be in God. Despair and discouragement, very similar things. That sense of overwhelming sense of why bother? Why try? It won't work. I've tried with that person. I've tried to tell that. I've tried to do that. It just never changes. Doubt and peacelessness. These are things that happen in our sense of okayness. We're just like, I'm not okay. Why can't I be okay? This isn't right. And then obviously there's the spiritual side, which you might relate to the heart. So in our hearts, we can become inflated in pride. We can become unforgiving and stuck. We can become fearful of in ourselves or fearful, a spirit of fear. And Paul and God writes to us, he doesn't give spirits of fear. He gives us love, joy, peace, sound mind. in submission, or rebellion is another word for that. Uncleanness, allowing unclean desires, unclean thoughts in ourselves. Bitterness, being chronically angry, punitive, feeling like it's just not fair. Now, all of these things, this, can we not do Oprah or Dr. Phil? You know, we watch the program and we see the crazy guy that's dating the Nazi transsexual who's crazy, and we're not supposed to sit here in the Word of God and go, is that someone else? We're supposed to sit here in the Word of God and go, where does this fit me? What's God telling me? And so I want you to know that this is not like a witch hunt. This is not demon digging. It's not me trying to glorify Satan, but it's the chance for us to say, what's hurting us? What's keeping us? What's hindering us? And for us to be honest and say, God, I need you to free me so that he doesn't work anymore. I think it's all about becoming aerodynamic Christians. You know, have you ever rode your bike and you're just like trying to beat all your buddies on their push bikes and you're just like going like crazy? I can't do it with two legs, only one. And then you do the thing where you're just trying to get maximum speed, so you just sort of duck everything in. Do you ever do that? It's like we instinctually know that riding a bike like this, is just not going to be very effective in winning the race, is it? We've got a hunch in. All the cyclists, they all know that. They got the super hat on. They got the super slick garments on. They've got even like handlebars where they have to put their arms together because aerodynamics is how we get through opposing air forces. Not like this guy carrying the sheet of plywood. And I put that picture up there because one time I was... it was in doing construction, and we were building the second floor of an apartment building. And to build the second floor, you got to put down the joists, which is like the support structure for the floor. They're big, thick beam kinds of things. So we put down the floor joists. But then, I don't know why, but we decided to start sheeting, that is, put the flooring down. We started flooring the building from the far side. Like, are we dumb? Maybe we were. Maybe there was a reason. But that meant that every sheet of plywood that we had to walk to make the floor meant that we had to step on the floor joist while we were carrying sheets of plywood. Now, that's kind of okay if you're in normal footing, in normal conditions, but in high wind, it's just dumb, right? So I was carrying this sheet of plywood, 4x8 sheet of plywood across the floor joist, when I caught the wind. And it blew me off the joist and through the hole between them. But fortunately, I've got like monkey grip, so they don't come off. So I just fell through the hole with a sheet of plywood. Fell to a nice height. What I mean by saying that is that, can I just ask us all to think about this? In what way are we really giving Satan too much to push against? Are we making trouble for ourselves? We need to be more aerodynamic. That is, we need to trim down what sticks out. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 27 says, give no opportunity, that is, a foothold to the devil. In this context, he's talking about getting angry. Man's anger does not bring about the righteousness that God desires, James chapter 1. But what it does is it gives Satan fantastic opportunity for us to insult people, demean people, destroy their sense of worth, cause conflicts and anger. If you let anger in, you are giving him so much opportunity. He's like, oh boy. See, we need to start thinking about what are the ways that we are living that are giving Satan a bigger opportunity than he would normally have. And so Thessalonians says, abstain from every kind of evil. Just don't play with his stuff and he won't live in your world. But not only that, we need to resist and renounce. 1 Peter says, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around you like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of sufferings are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. See, Peter says, you are not alone in this battle, and he doesn't have rights to do that, but watch out. He's out there trying. Don't let him. But then resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the very same kinds of things are happening to everyone else that serves Jesus. And then not only that, repent and submit. James's advice is, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be wretched, mourn, and weep. If you have involved yourself in things that are fleshly, earthly, unspiritual of the devil, then the best way out is to go back to God, repent of that, and then submit to God. We have no authority over the evil one, only Jesus does. But in submission to God, we can then rebuke the devil and he won't touch our lives because we have authority in Christ. We don't have our own authority. But it might be, can you just listen to me for a second? It might be that you have got yourself in a place where you are doing evil, or thinking evil, behaving evil. If that's the case, repent. I'm just fine. No, you're not okay. Grieve, mourn, wail. Repent of what you're doing and submit to God. Otherwise, you're just going to stay playing in his playground. Then, proclaim your rights in Christ. You see, Peter says, resist him firm in your faith. Now, Satan doesn't have rights over us. He doesn't have the right. But he needs to be reminded of our rights. We have the right to oppose him. We have the right to rebuke him. We have the right to say, no, you go. I don't have to put up with that. In the same way Jesus had the right to say, Satan, get behind me. You don't stand in front of me. You stand in back of me. You have the right in Christ to say the very same thing to the devil. You don't have a right to touch my finances, my family, my heart, my mind, my soul. You don't have that right because Christ is my Lord, not you. Does that make sense? Okay. You guys are very quiet today. All right. So we're going to read Ephesians chapter 6, and we're going to read this teaching about spiritual battle and come up with very simple, very simple method. From verse 12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the day of evil, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace, in all circumstances take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit and with all prayers and supplications. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. That armor is really a description. I think scripturally it's wrong for us to get obsessed with the armor side. We should be more obsessed with what the details are. And those are these things. We are, as Christians, equipped with the belt of truth. We have truth. We don't need to have lies at work in our lives. We have the breastplate of righteousness. We have a place before God through Christ that declares us righteous, untouchable to the evil one. We have the gospel of peace. That is, we stand in a relationship with God that is not opposing forces, but on the same side. We are on the same team as God, and we are together against the evil one. We have a shield of faith. That is, the faith that we have provides us with the opportunity to extinguish what Satan throws at us before it even touches us. We have been given the helmet of salvation. That is, we have a mindset that is a new person, not of the old or of the flesh, but we are a new created person, and our mind is guarded by that gospel of salvation. And we have the Word of God. And the Word of God is the truth. It declares what can and cannot be according to God's own speaking. And so Paul, when talking about the word, says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds." Here he's speaking of the word. "We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ." We have been given, in the word of God, the power to overcome the evil one. And so I want to finish today in two different ways. First, we're going to all pray a prayer that I've taken from Neil Anderson's Bondage Breaker series. If you want to know more about this, or maybe you're looking an area of bondage, maybe in your life in a specific area, Neil T. Anderson has written probably about 8 to 10 books on different ways that people suffer from demonic bondage. You might find a book generally that's right for you. You might find a book that's specifically right for you. But I recommend downloading, going to find those books. But what we're going to do is, I thought, if you're ready, if you're willing, we'll pray a prayer that just announces who we are and declares that and stands in opposition to any kind of demonic problem. Does that make sense? Okay. Then we're all going to stand together. I'm going to pray over us all. And then we're going to finish with a time of ministry that, if you know any area of your physical world, mental world, spiritual world, that might be affected by spiritual forces, then I'm going to invite you to forward to a time of ministry. Now, I always invite people for ministry, and I always so sad that people go without it. And what I'm hoping for is that all of us will get a wash today. Okay? When I was a kid, I never liked to have a bath. My mom had to chase me around the house to get me in that tub. I had some hard-earned dirt built up on my body. And I was not going to surrender it without a fight. But we all need a regular washing. If Jesus is having spiritual forces against him, Paul is, Daniel is, you are. And if there's anything that you think, boy, I just would love to be clean of that, then why don't you let us pray with you? And that's how we're going to finish our service today. Of course, we have the cafe, we got everything going like that. But are you ready to read this with me? Okay. It's not going to trouble you too much. Why don't we read this? Can we use our big boy outdoor voices? Okay? Can we do that? Not kind of like, meh, I'm a child of God. Let's do the big boy, I believe this, outdoor voice. We're saying this to ourselves, to the Lord. We are declaring it in the spiritual realm. Can we do that together? All right. Let's start together. As a child of God, seated with Christ in the heavenlies, and in the name and authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command Satan and all evil spirits to release me in order that I can be free to know and choose to do the will of God. I commit myself to do the will of God, and I submit my body to my heavenly Father as a living sacrifice, an instrument of righteousness. I refuse to be intimidated by Satan's lies or to give in to any physical harassment. I am a child of God, and the evil one cannot touch me. Amen? You agree with that? Amen. Well, let's stand together. Let's stand together. Maybe I can just get our keyboard player to come up and play for us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Lord Jesus, we just declare right now your ruling power over every one of our hearts, over every one of our minds, over every one of our bodies. We declare that Jesus Christ is Lord. He is sovereign King with all authority and power given to him. And we have willingly confessed our submission to Jesus Christ and declare that he alone has rights over our bodies, our minds, our hearts. And so in Jesus' name, I now rebuke Satan. I rebuke every kind of spiritual and demonic force that would trouble this body of Christ. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke him and I command his lies and his power to be broken. I command and I command him to release everybody that he has held captive. I in the name of Jesus and on behalf of all of us, I repent of our sins. I repent of everything that we've done evil or wrong. I now stand and speak for every person here and say, Father, forgive me. I know that I have sinned against you, and I willingly come before you and repent, confess that I am a sinner, and I seek the forgiveness that is in Jesus Christ. I declare that his blood has washed me, that he has cleansed me. I declare that I am forgiven through Jesus Christ, and I have become an adopted child of God. And I declare that the enemy has no place in my life, and nor can he touch me in any way. And so in Jesus' name, I rebuke him, and I command him to leave me alone in every area of my body. And I'm so grateful, Father, that you are ruling over us and covering us now. And so, Lord, in that spiritual vacuum, Lord, we pray your Holy Spirit would come in and fill us again. Why don't you just open up your heart and just let the Holy Spirit fill you right now. Holy Spirit, come to me. Come and fill me right now. Come and fill my heart. Lord, don't let there be an empty place for the devil to come and cause a problem again. But Lord, we pray that you would come and fill us by your grace and by your Spirit. In the name of Jesus, we welcome you and thank you for your lordship and rights in our life. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I praise you, Lord. I worship you, and I commit my life, all that it is, into your wonderful hands. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's message from Hope Central. We hope you'll stay connected with us. Visit our website, hopecentral.org.au, and follow us on Facebook, Hope Central SA.